Welcome to another Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast. I'm The Rise host and producer, Kelia Ramaris. Around the world, the kangaroo is recognized as the national symbol of Australia. But in its homeland, the kangaroo is threatened with extinction from years of drought and from killing in numbers that would be called genocide if the victims were human. Kangaroos have been termed pests and have been unfairly blamed for soil degradation that should be placed at the feet, or more accurately, the hooves, of the millions of sheep and cattle trampling on the nation's very thin topsoil. Kangaroo leather is being used for sporting goods such as soccer shoes, and kangaroo meat, once only used as dog food, is being marketed to Asia as an aphrodisiac and to Australians as a healthy alternative that can be sustainably harvested. This last, even though the conditions under which kangaroos are killed are quite unsanitary. Rhea Linden is campaign director of Animal Active, an Australian animal welfare organization, and a contributor to the book Kangaroos, Myths and Realities, published by the Australian Wildlife Protection Council. Linden teaches at the University of Melbourne, where she is currently researching the gender makeup of animal welfare organizations in Australia. She has found that the activities of kangaroo killing and kangaroo preservation are divided along gender lines, and that there is a connection between the killing of animals and violence against women. Linden began the interview by describing kangaroo mobs.
They do live in family groups that we call mobs that can range between 12 members up to about 20, 25 members. And there are always at least one, maybe sometimes more alpha males that protect the group. And the mothers have a particularly important role in that at any one time a kangaroo mother cares for three joeys. There's the joey at heel that looks independent but still needs mum for feeding and teaching mob behaviour until it's three years old. There's the joey in the pouch that is the most visible symbolic view of kangaroos, you know, the little joey peeping out of the pouch. But there's also another joey that is in a developmental stage within the pouch. So mum's caring for these three. When the shooters come into the bush at night, which is when they shoot, it's generally one shooter alone or a couple of shooters, and they stun the mob with very bright lights and shoot randomly. The way in which they're killed is very much like deer stalking. They come upon out of the bush as they're grazing very unexpectedly. So, you know, if any of your listeners have heard the government say that there's a humane code of practice involved in kangaroo shooting, well, there's a code of practice, but it's not humane because the bludgeoning of joeys is written into it. And above all, it's not mandatory. It's a voluntary code of practice, and it's not regulated. There are no observers in the dark in the bush. There's just the shooter and his prey. You know, if they take the alpha male, the rest of the mob is left defenseless and will just not survive. When they take a mother, the joey at heel is left to starve or to suffer predation. The joey in the pouch is very briskly pulled out and usually crushed underfoot or bludgeoned with a heavy object. Its skull is crushed. The one that's in the development stage within the pouch dies very slowly when its mother is taken. So we have a situation where females and their young suffer considerably with this industry. And it is always at the hands of male shooters. I have yet to hear of a female shooter involved in kangaroo killing. And I've asked widely and nobody has ever heard of a female shooter. So we already have a gendered setup there.
In your chapter, you give a description of a mother kangaroo being killed. It's graphic. After that, You go on and you're saying, in the words of Carol Adams, the mother kangaroo described is not only shot, but also subjected to the knife, real or metaphorical, as the chosen implement of the aggressor seeking to control, consume, defile the body of the victim. And I immediately wrote next to that paragraph, it sounds like a description of human rape.
Exactly. And in effect, that's what it is. There's all sorts of ways in the language in Australia that kangaroos have been diminished in their status and objectified. They're referred to as pests, and when farmers or shooters go out, they don't shoot a being, they shoot a pest. And that is one way in which what's happened to kangaroos with the kangaroo industry is what happens to women when they're declared whores or whatever other term of denigration and commodification and objectification is used. One ceases to have a relationship with this creature as a sentient being, and one begins to look at it in terms of its body parts. How can it be chopped up, commodified and sold? And so you can see there's a clear relationship there between the sexual use and abuse of women and children and certainly the butchering of kangaroos. And I think it ties in very closely with Carol Adams' idea of the absent referent, because you need to make that being absent in order to do what you do to sentient animals and perpetrate such immense cruelty on them.
I read that paragraph to a colleague of mine just about an hour ago. She recognized the name Carol Adams and wanted to know if this was from something called The Sexual Violence of Meat.
The Sexual Politics of Meat. It's Carol Adams' first text on this subject, although she has recently published another book called The Pornography of Meat, which extends the themes and has lots of anecdotal and pictorial material, which is very interesting and continues that subject in 2003. So if anybody's very interested in following up these ideas, I mean, Carol Adams is a feminist as well as an animal rights proponent, and I think she links the themes very effectively and shows how violence against animals doesn't stop there. It becomes part of our cultural thinking, which reflects and perpetrates further social violence, so that in the end we become human beings devoid of an ethic of care. And if we're devoid of an ethic of care, then that incapacity is reflected everywhere.
There is, in fact, another chapter in Kangaroos, Myths and Realities about the link between cruelty to animals and domestic violence.
Yeah. And that's something, this idea has started to really take root in Australia at the moment. It's been fairly slow coming. We've all, you know, all the people like myself who are immersed in animal rights have talked about it for a while. But finally now the police departments and the RSPCA, which is usually a very conservative organisation in this country, has begun to value this idea that if we want a non-violent society, we should take a look at the way we treat animals, and especially the way children are socialised to treat animals, and whether we ought to be starting at that point in order to generate a society which is caring and considerate.
RSPCA stands for?
Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty Against Animals.
Is it considered somehow a macho thing to do, to shoot kangaroos?
Very much so. It's quite a masculine rite of passage in the Australian bush. In my teaching at Melbourne University, I have students who live on farms come in, and knowing my animal rights outlook, will boast that they were out shooting kangaroos with their friends on the weekend. You know, it's the thing to do. And I'm not sure why. I think one of the things, again, this is a gender issue. I think that when the kangaroo males stand up, they're very masculine. You know, they're almost human in their look. They stand up and they confront and they, you know, they look at a person front on. And I think men really find that challenging. There seems to be some real macho thing to kill kangaroos. I've seen undercover footage where a female, after her joey was bludgeoned, was dragged to the truck, still kicking, still alive, and the metal hook was put through her leg as she kicked. I'm sure this happens more frequently than we would like to know, because it is not an observed industry. There's nobody up there to know what goes on.
I take it that when a male kangaroo does stand upright, the testes are visible?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a challenge to human
and
males?
And the chest. The kangaroo will stand up and push his chest out. They seem to challenge males. Males in Australia, and I don't say all males, but particularly males living on farms in the bush, are reared to see kangaroos as challenging, as the enemy, to be destroyed, criticized. You know, everything is blamed on the kangaroos, and never is it considered that those kangaroos are pushed and pushed into smaller and smaller habitat areas and really locked in and given no way out, and then they're killed. They really are in a crisis, and unless we can stop this export industry, I don't see that they will survive.
In terms of protecting the kangaroo and other animals, the killers are males. Are men largely involved in preserving, or have women taken that role?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because one of the research areas I'm involved with academically at the moment is looking at the animal movement in Australia in terms of its composition, and it's about 98% female, which is a very telling thing. So in Australia, I presume this reflects a global situation too, by and large it is women who are heading up the various animal movement groups, by and large it is women who volunteer in them, and by and large it is women who run the campaigns in defence of animals. And it is men who do the killing. Even in abattoirs, it is men who work in the abattoirs. It is men who are involved in the animal killing industry. So there is just such a strict gender division there.
The abattoir would be a slaughterhouse?
Yeah, that's right, a slaughterhouse.
If more women were in the Australian Parliament, perhaps animal rights would be a bigger issue politically?
We've had success. We have a Greens Party in Australia. We have had elections a few weeks back, and just this past week, we've had the first two Greens to enter Parliament in Victoria, and one of them is a woman who is very animal welfare focused. So that is going to be a good thing. It means through her we can ask questions in Parliament and have issues raised and heard. So that's a very positive thing, and hopefully it's a sign of the future that more women will enter and maybe take up these concerns. Not all women do, and not all men are uncaring killers, as we know. I mean, we don't want to be too damning about men, because there are men who do very good things for animals. But the trend definitely seems to be along a gender divide here.
You've been listening to Rhea Linden, campaign director of the Australian animal welfare organization, Animal Active. The website is animalactive.org. She invites women and men throughout the world to preserve the kangaroo by boycotting German sporting goods maker Adidas, which is currently defending a lawsuit in which it is charged with illegally selling kangaroo products in California. I'm the RISE host and producer, Kelia Ramaris. My email address is kelia@riseforenews.net. That's K-E-L-L-I-A @rise4news.net. Subscribe to RISE podcasts at RISE4news.net. This has been a Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast. Thanks for listening.